Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Post Easter Rethink Podcast with my dog, Cole.
My dog.
I scooped you on the dog.
Yeah, heck yeah. Bringing it back.
You are bringing it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a movement now.
All right. my friend Brad wanted to bring back the high five. You know, people used to high five all the time.
Yeah,
Nobody does that anymore.
Yeah.
You can't.
But bringing it back afterwards, after all this, will be, I'm in for that movement.
It'll just be an air five.
Oh, I like the air five.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll end our podcast today with the Air 5.
Okay.
That'll be cool.
Or in honor of Ben's video this past Easter.
Yeah. His video is so good.
It was so good.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good. I love it because those are my grandkids, right?
Yeah.
And M wipes out. And nobody, Allie, my daughter, goes.
Yeah. And then it cuts.
So I'm sure there's a cry fest after that.
So good.
It was good.
That's
good.
Awesome.
How was your Easter?
It was good. It was weird. I mean, being at home, doing all that, it's just a weird Easter.
What'd you eat for Easter?
So Taylor made an egg bake in the morning that was really good. I had it this morning again.
I kind of like that. It was a McDonald's burrito.
Was it good? I love it.
It was a little dry on the ends, but then go on.
But you get that salsa and it's good. Anyway, we had an egg bake and then we had a nothing bundt cake, you know? You know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so good. So I almost ate a whole one of those. And then she made homemade chicken noodle soup. And then I made mashed potatoes. So we did chicken noodle soup over mashed potatoes.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was good.
That does sound good.
It was really good. So yeah, what did you eat besides McDonald's?
Oh, I'm trying to remember. Well, first of all, somebody dropped off Easter baskets on our front porch for our dogs.
That was nice. Yeah.
And then our kids were like, somebody put Easter eggs in our front yard. Was that you all? And we're like, no.
Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't. I don't know. Thank you, whoever dropped off the Easter basket for our dog. What did we eat yesterday? I don't know. Leftovers, I think.
It's awesome.
Yeah, pasta thing, whatever.
I'm all about leftovers now. Yeah. I'm usually not, but.
I love leftovers.
Yeah.
I'm a canner now. I'm a prepper canner.
Yeah, you're a prepper.
And so
you've been a prepper, though.
I've been a prepper before.
COVID hasn't changed that. Yeah.
No, COVID just revealed how wise I am that I got way on ahead of this. And so I got a lot of stuff here. I got a lot of stuff in an undisclosed location, buried in a cache.
Buried underground.
Yeah.
COVID's made me a hunter, as you can tell with my camo.
I noticed
I wanted
that.
To match you.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, this is actually FAMO. It's fashionable camo. This is what I would wear if we went.
FAMO?
Yeah, this is what I would wear if you and me went hunting again.
Which probably never going to happen, Cole.
No, but that was fun, that one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about that another day, another podcast.
That'd be great. So we're out of time.
15 minutes.
Yeah, I had some great conversations. I did the Instagram Live thing. Yeah. Did 2 hours of that over the weekend. Had really great conversations. I really miss being with people.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the closest thing to having conversations and great conversations coming in. A lot of people talking about Robin and her part of the talk. So yesterday so I only taught once. It was recorded, then they showed it 8 times or something like that. And then, so I was getting hungry. I said, "Hey Rob, will you fix something for lunch? Cause I taught 8 times this weekend." she went, "So did I."
No.
And I went, "Oh." And so then
got McDonald's.
Then I went to, I did.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What I wanted to talk about though. So on Monday.
Yeah.
We are talking about like when Robin talked about, you know, here's what she knows and believes versus what she feels and how do they line up and not line up and how she hold on to that. But I also want to talk about kind of the flip side of it. So as I was watching Easter and watching people's comments of like, hey, Robin's story really like.
A lot of people didn't think I had on pants.
Yeah, it was a weird color scheme. Yeah. Next time, let's shoot you with no pants and see what happens.
is that a dare?
Yeah, that's a dare. We'll see what happens.
I may not have pants on right now.
Yeah, we don't know. That's the beauty of the table. But as I was watching people's comments roll in and they're like, hey, Robin's story really hit me, especially right now. Or like, that's what I've walked through. That's what I'm like going through right now.
Yeah.
I was thinking through like, okay, what happens when I'm in that situation? What happens when like I'm in a depressive state like that? What am I going to hold on to? What am I going to think through? But then I thought of like, what happens when Taylor's in that? And not my first thought wasn't how's Taylor going to get through that. I was like, how am I going to, I'm a helper. I'm a fixer. That's good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, how am I going to help her through that? How am I going to fix through that? And so then I started thinking about you. And as Robin has walked through that for 30 years, that's really, really hard. That's really, really tough. But in the midst of you trying to be a really good husband, whether that happened or didn't happen, in the midst of that, you're trying to be a good dad. You're trying to be a good pastor, a good, at that point, student ministry pastor. All that's kind of like plugged in together. And so I was thinking is as Robin's processing through all this and working through all this and the really, really hard days, really good days, with you, What was that like for you? What was that like for you to try to love her through that and lead her through that? Because there's people listening. They're like, hey, I'm not the one suffering from depression, but my wife is, or my husband is, or my dad is, or my kids are.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do in the midst of that. So what did you do really well? And then we'll flush it out with what you do not so well. And then and try to combine them to figure out, like, what can we do to rethink that and change the way that we're doing that now?
Yeah, that's great. One of the questions I got yesterday even was, it was from a man who was going through depression, and he still has to go to work. Mm-hmm. And so Robin, and I'm going to be really careful with this, okay? Because I don't want to be dismissive. Yeah. Robin had we had the bandwidth. It financially hurt us a lot, but she had the bandwidth to not work, to quit her job or whatever that is, and stay home because she couldn't go to work. There's some head of houses out there that's like, I can't stay in bed or we won't eat. And so that's a whole other level of maybe conversation. But yeah, and I want to be really, really tender here because I don't want it all to be dismissive of the half of the couple that's depressed, right?
Right.
So it's like that is a whole depth of pain and suffering that they're going through. And so as a caretaker or as someone who loves and things like that, to get back to your question is, first of all, I'm a fixer too. Yeah. I would go into, function mode. I would clean the house. I would do the laundry. I would cook. I would do the grocery shopping. I would do carpool. I'd pick up at carpool. Then I also ran a ministry. And then so you try to fix it all. And then you hit a wall and you go, I can't fix this. And then you kind of have a panic moment, which is where I think a lot of people, and I understand this, I'm not even going to throw stones at it. I don't know how people stay married going through like bipolar when one of them's. It's hard to do it with Christ. I don't know how you do it without Christ.
Yeah.
I really don't. I can honestly say the only reason we're still married is Christ has given me the strength because I've tapped out so many times. And she would go to bed and the kids would go to bed and I would sit on the couch and just have these conversations going through my head going, I'm tired. This isn't fair. Yeah. What am I going to do? And the same thing that comforted Robin, he was my strength when I was weak. I had to lean on the same stuff too. Yeah. Right. So I guess that's would be helpful to acknowledge to the partners out there of someone who's married to someone with any type of mental illness or even physical illness and things like that. You go into function mode and you don't think of yourself. You just do it. But just having somebody acknowledge, hey, you're carrying a lot. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I won't ask for that. I was talking to Robin the other day is that, different people in our life have pointed out that, and even my son and daughter, and part of their testimony is they dealt with a lot of abandonment issues because Robin was in bed and I would run off to work and things like that. And guilty as charged.
Sure.
Right. The other part of it is sometimes you wish someone to go, but I also know you didn't miss a game. I also know you didn't miss a carpool. I also know that you dropped work a lot of times and came and did this thing over here. Mm-hmm. I also know that you made sure there's a paycheck. I also know that you cooked most of the meals. I also know that you did most of our family's laundry. I also know that you mowed the yard. I also know that you, kept up with this and whatever that is. Imperfectly, but just sometimes having that acknowledged is just like, thanks. I would never ask for that, but it feels kind of good.
Yep. Well, it's easy to get caught up in the negative. To hear that one positive and go, oh yeah, I did do well there is a good change.
And a lot of times I hid behind some of that stuff. If I could function, like you said, I'm a fixer. If I do the laundry and if I clean the house and if I do the groceries and if I cook the meals like that, maybe that'll make them feel better. And in my mind, it would. In her mind, it would just make her feel more guilty for all the things that she couldn't do that she really wanted to do.
Yeah.
It is, bipolar is really, it is this.
Yeah.
And it's not just one of you. It is both of you in this together. And I say all that at the risk of if Robin heard this or if my kids heard this, would they feel like I, poor me? And that's not it at all. Yeah. Because my kids are going through their stuff in their own lives, and Robin's going through her stuff and everybody's going through their stuff. Just acknowledging, going, hey, for all the mistakes you did make, you did a lot of things right too.
Yeah.
And that keeps you going a lot of times.
For sure.
Okay.
So I have two questions from that. My first one. You said that there's you've tapped out multiple times.
I could see tap out from where I was. I never quit.
Right. I don't mean like that, but it's like you sit on the couch and you're like, I'm done.
I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
The first time that you did that, mm-hmm. What thoughts, and that was probably a long time ago, what thoughts played through your head that you've had to look at and go, no, those are BS. But like, there's somebody listening right now that's like, I don't want to tap out. And then finally they hit it and they're like, I'm terrible. I don't love so-and-so. And it's like, no, that's not true. So like walk with me through that.
Yeah, I think you'd sit there and go, okay, what would be the ramifications if I did this? Mm-hmm. It'd be immediate relief felt. All right.
Yeah.
And then it would be long-term disaster.
Yeah.
This is going to fall on her. This is going to fall on me. This is going to fall on my kids, you know? And, I mean, there's times when, you know, you go home because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes when you go home because you want to go home. Yep. Sometimes you go home because you promise to go home.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing as sometimes you went, I can't even entertain that thought.
Yeah.
All right. Like I always tell this in 35 years of being married, coming up on 36, right? Robin and I have never dropped the D word in a fight.
Yeah.
We've never put divorce on the table because once you introduce it into reality, it's there and you can't not pick it up. You've right. actually said it's an option.
Right.
There's times when we've had arguments and fights where the last thing to go is then go ahead and file for divorce, you know? And you just look at each other going,
yeah.
You know, 'cause the sentence is right there.
Yeah.
And you cannot introduce it into reality. And so I never considered walking away.
Right.
I never considered tapping out. I never just, you know, leaving or leaving the kids. Never.
Yeah.
Never. Because if I would have entertained it, it would have been like, then it would have, it's like sin. Then it takes root.
Yeah.
And then it grows yep. and gives birth to death.
Yeah.
And then, all right. And so you have to just kind of get that out and go, it's not an option. Don't even say it. Don't even breathe it. Don't even entertain it. And then once that's off, then what's left? And it is, okay, then what am I going to do instead of leave?
Yeah.
All right. And I'm going to finish vacuuming the house. And then I'm going to go and tuck the kids in. And then I'm going to go in and make sure she's okay.
Yep.
And God, this is going to sound really right. Not self-righteous, but pious. And God will take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
And he has.
Yeah.
And again, I've done that really imperfectly.
Sure.
You know, I remember when Robin said in her first testimony, she said, sometimes I think about killing myself because everybody would be off better if I was dead. She said that to me several times. And, you know, my response to her was, babe, that's not true. That's not true. But in the back of my mind, I was like, you got a point.
Yeah.
And when I said that later in a talk,
yeah.
because I came out as husband of the year.
Sure.
He does the laundry and he does the cooking and he does the yeah. carpool, right? But there's other times I went, yeah. And sometimes, you know, I thought if she did, you know, die, it would be sad, but all right.
Yeah.
And then I don't want that to happen.
Right.
But I was just honest about saying, well, yeah, I didn't do this perfectly either.
Yeah.
You know, I just think that you have to be really, really careful about, it's the same thing with, you know, it's like if you're unhappy, you know, sexually or anything at home, you cannot entertain the idea of stepping outside your marriage. Cause if you do, it's a matter of time till you do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes root and grows. That makes total sense.
Absolutely. So you just can't entertain the thought. You have to take it captive and go, no, that is not even an option. I don't want to have that talk. And I'm telling you, I don't want to have that conversation inside my own head, the yeah. internal conversation.
Right.
No, I'm not even going to entertain that.
Right. And that's a struggle in itself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the question comes up and you go, no. Yep. You know, am I going to go back to pornography? No, not going to go back there. I'm going to go back to, am I just going to, you know, drink too much and just pass out? No, not going to entertain that. I'm not going to. You know, I'm not going to pick up a phone and just see how she's doing.
Right.
You know, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to entertain her.
And there's good days, there's bad days where it's like, I can easily shut that down. And other days I'm like, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's times when you're just going, you get as far as, you know, addresses or Facebook, you know, or whatever that is. But this wasn't around when I was going through all that, whatever the version was in
Pony
my head.
Express, there. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Smoke signals.
That's right. Yeah. So on the reverse side of that, now you're 35 years in that, 30 years into this.
Yeah.
You can't go back and fix things you did wrong. You can't go back and pat yourself on the back for the things you did right. But you get from now on.
Mm-hmm.
So you said like my kids have worked through stuff and they're still
working.
Yeah. They're still working through stuff. You guys are still working through stuff. How do you now like come alongside them in the midst of that and go, okay, here's how I do it better from here on out. Like what are you doing now? That's like, here's how I'm going to be a better dad still. Here's how I'm going to be a better husband still. It's like, that doesn't ever end.
Mm-hmm.
So like, what are you doing now that's like, because of what I've done before and what I'm learning, here's what I'm going to do better.
Yeah. Well, I think the cool thing with me and both my kids is that we've been involved in like the liminal work, the soul work.
Yeah.
And so we understand that we have misinterpreted, we've taken on message intended or unintended from other things in our life. And we've used that to make up stories about each other. And it's really a story inside our head. So that's not really true. It's what I feel, but it's not what it's really true. Like Robin talked about. I think that through some of that work and then looking back at our history, like there's a day when Robin started getting better.
Yeah.
I got pissed.
Yeah.
I had to go to anger therapy.
Yeah.
And I've sat in my therapist's office and he goes, Jim, you're really angry. I went, no, I'm not.
I'm like, you're squeezing.
Yeah. And give me a great metaphor. I'm a stuffer. You can't get mad at a sick person. You can't get mad at your kids because they're your kids. And so you just stuff. And I stuff it in a closet. Yeah. Right. And it's like, I just put it in a closet, in a shadow, whatever you want to call it, you know? And then that door starts really, really, you know, right. And then someone does something and they get the whole avalanche on them. All right. And so when Robin started getting better and started wanting to re-enter our life, I was like, oh,
yeah.
Now you want to enter our life. That you kind of abdicated that. Now you want to step back and have a say and stuff like that. And it got really, really, really a lot of fights at our house when Robin started getting better. And finally, and that's when I went to anger management because I was like, I haven't any place to point this, you know, or to vent it because I'm a good Christian man and I should just suck it up for Jesus and my
anger's
family.
Anger's a bad thing. Yeah.
But finally, Robin just looked at me, gosh, I hate it when this comes on.
Yeah.
And she just said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I've been sick. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And then what are my options? No, you know, or yeah. And so getting back to your thing is I think our family gets to forgive. Will you forgive me faster and offering forgiveness to one another faster as opposed to playing out this long game of making each other pay?
Yeah.
You know, I'll say that once we get to it.
Yeah.
Like we're a lot of us are avoiders.
Yeah.
But then when we get into the conflict, we get to forgiveness pretty fast. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. That's awesome. So for the person listening right now, that's in your shoes, the one that their spouse or their friend or their mom or dad or their kid is the one who's going through this and they have to come alongside and love them.
Yeah.
What's one thing that you look back on? It's like, here's one thing I would have done different that because of that, I could have loved Robin better.
Yep. Well, one thing I would say is you have to have something that's your own therapy. So mine was, I would get up at the gym. The reason I get up at the gym and go, I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning when the gym is open.
Yeah.
I'm in the gym by 4. And I started that back when my kids were little because that was my time.
Yeah.
And I could actually be home before they got out of bed and I had to get them ready for school, run through McDonald's drive-thru on the way to Christian Academy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so that was our routine. But I had to have something that was mine. And so early mornings are my time.
Yeah.
And you need something to say, what's mine? That the rest of the day might be taken up with my job and my kids and my wife and the sickness and whatever that is. But there's this one time of the day that is mine. And going to the gym in the morning has always been mine. So have something for yourself. The other thing is, and I didn't have this, I do now, but is somebody honestly get in a room, a safe person.
Yeah.
And by that, I would say it's another dude.
Yeah.
All right. You can't.
If you're a man, it's another dude.
Absolutely. Yeah. So if you're in my shoes, I would get another man who's going to understand and not give you a bunch of advice. Just listen and just come on, get it out, not judge you and just say, I'm in it with you. All right. I don't have the answer to I don't have advice. So here, go home and do this or say this. You need somebody that you can go, that's how I'm feeling. And then once you get that out there, it's like, I just need to say it, you know? And that's what like soul groups are good for that, you know? And that's always a risk to find somebody that you can actually say, I'm having dark thoughts. I had this fantasy the other day, you know, or I thought about reaching out to so-and-so or whatever that is. I didn't do it, but I just need to say that out loud. And then those guys will get away. You know, there's a lot of things like I've had a lot of dark thoughts from my past that could come back and kind of ambush me.
Yeah.
And sometimes you even kind of start thinking to yourself, it's a matter of time. So just pull the trigger and get it over with.
Yeah.
It just goes screwed up now, screwed up later. And it's like, I said that out loud in my group. Mm-hmm. And I said, I just need you to know there's darkness there. And they didn't judge me, that they prayed. So I would say, you got to have something that you take care of yourself. That could be any activity. For me, it was going to the gym. You have to have another guy that you trust or another person that you trust or a group of people that you can get in there and go on. I don't need judgment. I just need to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And say, this is what I'm feeling. And people just accept you as you are. You know, I hand out bullets and I don't get shot.
Mm-hmm.
I tell big truth. I get big grace.
Yeah.
And, if you try to do this by yourself, you're not that strong.
Yeah.
We're not that strong. You got to ask for help. You got to ask for medication. You got to ask for counseling. You got to ask for people to help you with your family. And every person I know that finally tapped out tried to do it all by themselves. So yeah, that's where I'd start.
That's great.
Yeah. Cool.
Thanks. Yeah. All right. We'll see you next week.
Okay. That was heavy.
Yeah. Okay. That was good.
All right. See ya.